If you would, take your Bibles and let's go to 1 Samuel chapter number 3 this morning. 1 Samuel chapter number 3. And if you did not receive one of the message handouts, there are verses on there that we'll be looking at. And there's also opportunity there for you to take the message home with you. So if you need one, just lift up your hand real high. Let our ushers see you and give you one. We do that every Sunday morning. We give out a message handout every Sunday morning for you to be able to take home with you. 1 Samuel chapter number 3. You'll notice the name of the message at the top is Samuel, from a child to a spiritual leader. You know, you've heard me say this before, and I know sometimes I sound like maybe a broken clock, you know. But you've heard me say that that the expression, he's a born leader, doesn't apply in the spiritual realm. That's just simply not true. When it comes to the spiritual realm, there's no such thing as born leaders. You're not a born leader in God's service. Here's the key. If you want to be a leader for God, then you have to grow and you have to develop into a leader. You've got to grow and you have to develop into a leader. I'll give you an illustration of this. I want to bring up a picture of a little puppy. Okay, just the puppy, please. Now, there's a little... Do you know what kind of puppy that is, by the way? No. Nope, it's not a Dalmatian. That is a Great Dane. Isn't that a cute little puppy? So cute. But you know what the potential is in that tiny little puppy? Let's bring it up. The potential within that puppy, if he gets fed properly, if he gets the right nutrition, if he gets water, if he gets the proper care, there is capability, there is potential within that little puppy to become fully grown and to become like that. And I contend that is not a dog, that is a horse, okay? But there is the potential there for that little puppy to be... Now let me apply that, okay? In the same way, once you become a Christian, you're kind of like that little puppy. You're just a newborn believer, if you will. Okay? But you are given, just like the puppy has everything internally that it needs to grow, when you get saved and you become a believer, you are given all that you need. You are provided all that you need in Christ and through God's Word to become a leader for God. Okay? Now, that puppy is cute. But in order for that puppy to become like that dog, it just needs to what? Needs to grow. It's growth that is needed. Now, we're going to look into the Bible. We can go ahead and take the picture down now. But as we open up our Bible, let's go to 1 Samuel 3. And I want you to notice verse 1 with me. It says, "And the child Samuel." Now, how did it describe Samuel? He was a what? He was a child. Some people believe that he was probably around 12 years old. I had a 12-year-old in my house last week, but I don't anymore. He turned 13 last Wednesday. And I had a month and a half reprieve with no teenagers in the house. You realize that? Clint went from 19 to 20, so he became 20 years old on December the 15th. And then Clayton was 12 and Caleb was 11. And then Clayton turned 13 on February the 3rd. So that means I had a month and a half with no teenagers at the house. Now I get 10 more years of it. So Samuel, a lot of people believe that he was probably around 12, 13 years old when this chapter opens up. But by the end of the chapter, I want you to look how he's viewed by all of Israel. I want you to look down with me at verse number 20, please. Verse number 20. It says, "And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord." Now, does that not strike you? That really strikes me. We start the chapter, and he's a child. He's called a child. Probably preteen, you know, or a young teenager. By the end of the chapter, and I know there's definitely some chronological time in this chapter that happens, okay? But by the end of the chapter, he's viewed in all of Israel as a spiritual leader for God. He was a man of God that people went to for spiritual direction. He was a man of God that people looked up to and people respected. How do we become spiritual leaders that other people will respect and that other people will follow? How do believers grow into spiritual leaders for God? Now, I want you to understand that it's not magical and it's not mystical. The way that people go from being a newborn baby in Christ to then being a spiritual leader for God, it's not a magical, it's not a mystical thing. There's no magic wand. Hey, listen, if you want to become a leader for God, I don't have any magic spiritual powder dust that I blow on you, okay? And then all of a sudden now you're spiritual. No, that's not the case. This chapter is going to provide for us great insight as we look at this child who became a man of God. And anyone in here is capable of going from being a child in Christ, immature, to becoming a fully mature believer who is viewed as a leader for God. You can be a leader for God. Number one, in your handout, I want you to notice as we look at Samuel, number one, if we're going to go from childhood to being a spiritual leader, it's going to take a yielded heart. Number one, it's going to take a yielded heart. And this story that we're going to read here in a second is kind of a funny story because most of us can identify with it. Have you ever been awakened from your sleep in the middle of the night and thought that you heard something, but it wasn't what you thought it was? You ever had that happen? Just recently it happened to me. Caleb had been sick with the flu, my youngest. And whenever the kids get sick, and it's not that often, but whenever they get sick, they come in the bedroom, and Denise knows I got to get up and go to work. So Denise always says the same thing. If they're, you know, doing what kids do at night, and they're doing that, she always wakes me up, says, "Dan, Caleb's sick. Or Clayton's sick. You better go on the couch. It's going to be a long night." And so I grab my pillow and I take off and I trudge in and I collapse on the couch, you know. And it's just what we do. Well, I'm on the couch sleeping and I wake up about, I don't know, it's around 5:30 in the morning and I hear a... I'm thinking, whoa, I woke up. Who's at the door at 5:30 in the morning? I go on, look at the door. There's nobody there. I'm thinking, whoa, what if someone's in the backyard? They're knocking on the back door. So I go to the back door and I look at the back door. Nothing. I'm thinking, man, I must have been dreaming. So I go back and I lay down again. I almost go back to sleep and I hear a... I hop up and I go running again. I do the same thing again. I never did figure out what that was until the next day. And I was telling the kids about it. And my 12, now 13-year-old, said, "Oh yeah, I think about that time I was doing that on the bedpost of my bed." Now what's he doing at 6 in the morning doing that? That's what I'm thinking. I guess he woke up and was just kind of, you know, do. Well, look at the story here, and let's see what happens. Go to verse 1, or verse 2. It says, "And it came to pass at that time when Eli..." Remember, Eli's the high priest. He's the head over the tabernacle, the center of Israel's worship. So he's the head honcho. Okay, he's old now. He's getting up in years. It says, "When Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, and he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord..." All that means is it was the middle of the night, okay, "where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep." So Samuel's probably about 12, 13 years old. He's sound asleep. "That the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, 'Here am I.' And he ran unto Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou callest me.' And he said, 'I called not. Lie down again.' And he went and lay down." I mean, you can picture this, right? That Samuel's asleep and he hears, "Samuel." And man, I mean, lickety-split, buddy. I mean, he goes scurrying off. Because, you know, he's there to serve Eli. That's his spiritual leader. He goes running in there and he wakes up the old man. "Eli, what do you want? What do you want?" Eli's like, "Boy, I didn't call for you. Now go on back in there and go to sleep." So Samuel goes back in there. He's scratching his head thinking, "I know I heard my name." So look at verse 6. It says, "And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou didst call me.' And he answered, 'I called not, my son. Lie down again.'" Samuel's like, Eli's like, "Samuel, you got to stop doing this." You know, he's thinking, "Man, you had too much popcorn last night before you went to bed. So go on back and go to sleep." Verse 7. "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him." In other words, he did not know the word of the Lord as a prophet. He knew the written word. They had that, Moses' law. But God would speak through prophets back in those days. And Samuel would be a prophet, but he didn't know the Lord in that way yet. Okay, the Lord had never spoken to him personally. Verse 8, "And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou didst call me.' And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, 'Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.' So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood." Now notice this time God doesn't just call, he actually comes and stands. That's interesting. It says, "And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' Then Samuel answered, 'Speak, for thy servant heareth.'" It's interesting that he doesn't say what Eli said to say. Eli said to say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." But Samuel just says, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And I think that Samuel had such a respect for the Lord, such a reverence for the name of the Lord, he still wasn't sure about this whole thing. He still wasn't convinced that it wasn't the old man, senile man Eli in there calling him. And so when he hears his name again, he just says, "Speak, until I know it's the Lord, I'm not going to call you the Lord. So just speak, whoever you are, whatever you are, speak, for thy servant heareth." And what really strikes me about this story is Samuel's just very tender, yielded heart. When he thought it was Eli that needed him, he went running in. "Here am I. Here am I. I'm at your disposal. Whatever you want, tell me." And when it was the Lord, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And in your handout, it says whether it was Eli, his spiritual leader, or whether it was the Lord himself, Samuel had such a yielded heart to do God's will. You know, it just really strikes me that this young man, this is why he became a leader. He wanted to hear what God had to say. I mean, when God talked, or when God would you know, speak through his spiritual leader, Eli, boy, I mean, his ears perked up. And he was willing to listen. And Samuel had a servant's heart to want to do what God desired for him to do. And that's an absolute key in becoming a spiritual leader for God. You see, God can't use strong-willed, obstinate, stubborn, self-willed people. He can't use people like that. He can't use people whose theme song... How many of you remember... Now, I'm going to speak to the senior citizens right now, okay? How many of you seniors remember the Frank Sinatra song? Here, I'm going to do it for you. "I did it my way." Pretty good, huh? Yeah, well, you know. How many of you remember that? Remember that one? "I did it my way." Hey, can I tell you something right now? That won't work in God's service. That better not be your theme song if you want to be a servant of the Lord, be a leader for God. That better not be your theme song. You know what your theme song better be? "Take my life and let it be." That hymn that we sung this morning. "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days. Lord, they're all Yours. It's all Yours." It's not, "I did it my way." It's, "I want to do it God's way." The Apostle Paul taught the church how crucial yieldedness is in your handout. Romans 6:13. Look at it with me. Paul said to the church, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but, what's the next word? Yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members, that is your body, as instruments of righteousness unto God. In your handout, what does the word yield mean? It means to surrender or to submit. If I yield, that means I surrender, I submit. One time I had a guy tell me, he said, every morning when I wake up in the morning, it really struck me funny when he said it at first. He said, every morning, he said, when I wake up, and he showed me what he did. He kind of laid down like this, and he said, every morning when I wake up, he said, you know what I do? And I said, what? He said, I wake up, and when I realize I'm awake, I go. And I'm like, why do you do that? And well, you guys, what is that a signal of? You guys watch enough John Wayne movies to know that. Yeah, I surrender. Don't shoot. I surrender. And that was his way of telling God every morning, I'm yours. That song we sung, I am yours. You are Lord. I give myself completely. Now and evermore. That's what it means. I surrender. Yield means to surrender, means to submit. You know, a lot of you have heard me talk about, I don't know why this is dog day. This is dog day, but a lot of you have heard me talk about the dog that we got the kids. I'll bring up a picture. That's the dog we got him. He's a little puppy there. What kind of dog is he? I just went blank. Golden Retriever. And so we got him, these little dog. And you know what? When we brought him back, when we went and got him and we got him and we was bringing him back home, we made an interesting discovery about him. And that is, we discovered, if we bring up the next picture, that he's a Packer fan. We didn't know that, but we discovered that the dog was a Packer fan. He let us know that. And so we gave him an appropriate name. His name is Lambo. Now, those of you who know football know what Lambo means. That's the place where the Packers play their games. But you know what I found out about that sweet, cute, little, innocent dog? I found out he's as stubborn as an old Missouri mule. When he doesn't want to do something, this is what he does. Bring it up. That's what he does. He puts on the brakes. And I mean, that rear end goes out and he puts on the brakes. And I mean, he's not going anywhere. And what I found out is that when I want him to come in the garage, he wants to be outside. And when I want him to be outside, guess where he wants to be? In the garage. And we're trying to get him in the kennel, right? And I'm trying to get him in the kennel. And you know what? Here's the thing. Is if he was saying, I don't want to go in there. I'd rather be out in the 25-degree weather in the backyard. It's like, you dumb dog. I'm trying to keep you from freezing. But you know what? As I look at that picture, I cannot help but think of myself. Many times in my life, I have been that way towards God. God's like, God tells me through His Word, this is what you need to do, and that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing. If we're going to become leaders for God, we got to be like Samuel. Here am I, Lord. I want to do what Your Word says. I yield myself to You. Number two, if we're going to become a leader for God, it takes an honest heart. It takes a yielded heart. You got to be surrendered, but if you want to be a leader. But if you want to be a leader, it takes an honest heart. Now, I want you to look at verse 11. Okay, let's go on down to verse 11 now. It says, and the Lord said to Samuel. Now remember, God woke up Samuel again for the fourth time. And the Lord said to Samuel. Now let me stop there, and I want you to make sure you get this now. Does God speak to people in audible voices today? No. Why? Because we have the completed Word of God today. See, but back then, they didn't have the completed Word. And so God would communicate with His people through prophets. And God would speak to them. Now, God is going to speak to Samuel here. And He's going to tell Samuel something He's going to do. And if you look at verse 11, it has to do with Eli and his house. Remember Eli had the two rebellious sons, Hophni and Phinehas? Remember we talked about the two rebels? Well, look at verse 11. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. No hope. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Well, I think we can all understand why. The next morning, guess what Eli does? He's snoopy. And Eli wants to know what God had to say. Look at verse 16. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he answered, "Here am I." There's that yieldedness again. And he said, "What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee." Now, what's Samuel going to do, church? Is he going to lie to Eli? Is he going to hold back part of the message? Is he going to sugarcoat it? Can't you just... I mean, wouldn't it have been easy for Samuel to say, "Well, Eli, you want to know what God said?" "Yeah, I want to know what God said." "God said that he's going to take a personal interest in your posterity." "You want to know what he said, Eli?" "Yeah, I want to know what he said." "God's going to do some really big things for you in the future." It would have been easy to do that. What's Samuel going to do? Verse 18, he's at a crossroads here. Verse 18, "And Samuel told him every whit," that means every word, "and hid nothing from him. And he," Eli, "said, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good." He hid nothing from him. I mean, he just whoop, takes off the blanket and says, "Here it is." And he said, tells him everything. Here's the point. Samuel was up front and he was honest with Eli. In your handout, it says that Samuel shared with him all of God's word. He shared with him all of God's word. Can you look in your handout with me and notice what Paul told the Ephesian elders? Acts 20:27. Paul had ministered among them and he said to them, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you," and underline that word, "all the counsel of God." Church, a spiritual leader cannot always tell people what they want to hear. He must tell them what they need to hear. Isaiah 30 verse 10 on the screen. God says to Israel, and he describes them this way. He said, "You say to the seers, see not. And to the prophets," here's what they said to the prophets, "Prophesy unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits." Israel said, "Tell us what we want to hear." And the prophets accommodated them, and they did just that. The prophets told Israel smooth things. And you understand the analogy of smooth things? Sometimes you may go to somebody and say, "I got something that's kind of hard to say." You've used that expression. Well, to prophesy smooth things means I'm going to tell you what you want to hear. You see, a leader for God can't do that. A leader for God has to tell people what they need to hear. You see, the Bible says that God's word is likened to a hammer. God's word, in other words, it convicts. It's like a sledgehammer. You know, and the Bible tells us the truth about ourselves. And the Bible brings conviction to us. And by the way, I wouldn't want to be in a church where I always felt comfortable and where I always felt good about myself. That's a warning flag, folks. Growth does not come that way. God's word ought to make us squirm sometimes. You've heard the expression, when you exercise, no pain, no gain. In other words, if you don't feel, if you're exercising away and you're exercising and you're never out of breath, you're never hurting, I mean, you're just having a good old time, guess what? It's probably not doing you much good. And it's the same way in the Christian life. If you never have any pain, the Word of God never goes, if you never have any conviction, then you're probably not growing much. You see, a leader for God has to faithfully proclaim the word of God. Be honest with people. Samuel became a mighty leader for God because he had an honest heart. He had a yielded heart. But number three, if you're going to become a leader, it takes a hungering heart. And I'm not talking about hungering for lunch today, okay? I said a hungering, I didn't say hungering stomach, I said a hungering heart. Can you look with me at verse 19 as we've kind of worked our way through the chapter? We're coming now to verse 19. And look at it with me. Verse 19, what are the first three words? Say it with me. And Samuel grew. It says, and Samuel grew and the Lord was with him and did let none of his words fall to the ground. Now, when it says that Samuel grew, and that's in your handout, by the way, verse 19 states that Samuel grew. I want you to get that statement in your handout. But it doesn't just mean that he grew physically. He grew spiritually in the knowledge and in the understanding of God and His Word. And at the beginning of the chapter, now follow me here. At the beginning of the chapter, Samuel had a head knowledge of God. He had a head knowledge of spiritual things. He'd been raised up around the temple. He'd hung out there. He knew the inside and out of the temple. He knew God's ordinances. He had the law of Moses. He knew God's ways. But I want you to look back at verse 7 again. Verse 7 says, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And as I said earlier, that just simply means that Samuel had a head knowledge of the Lord, but he didn't have that personal relationship, that personal walk with the Lord. He did not know the Lord, and he did not know the Word of God personally. And there's a lot of people who go to church every Sunday, and they may be involved somewhat in spiritual things, but they don't truly hunger to know the Lord. They don't really hunger to understand the Word of God. And there are many people who have met the Lord, and they've been saved, but they don't really know the Lord. Paul said in his heart, the Apostle Paul in your handout there, he said, that I may know Him. In other words, that Him is Christ. Paul said, I want to know Christ. Paul had been saved for years when he wrote that. When Paul said, I want to know Christ, he'd been saved for years. He's in prison by that time for preaching the gospel. But yet the Apostle Paul says, that I may know Him. I want to know Christ. I want to know Him in the power of His resurrection. I want to know Him in the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. In other words, I want to live that life that Christ lived. I want to live that sacrificial life like He did. Samuel could not become a leader for God until he personally had that understanding and that walk with God. And once that was in place, you notice what it says? He began to grow. And as he grew, look at verse 20. And all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. Everyone knew that Samuel was a spiritual leader as he grew. In your handout, it says an important statement in your handout. Leaders for God always have a heart hungering to grow. They always have a heart that's hungering to grow. They just, in your handout, it says they want to know the Lord and they want to know His Word in a deeper way. And as that happens, I want you to take your Bible and I want you to notice what happens as you begin to know the Lord in a deeper way. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1. Look at that first phrase. And the word of Samuel came to who? All Israel. He began to share it with others. Do you see what I meant when I said that in God's service there's no born leaders, only grown leaders? How many Christians are capable of becoming a leader for God? How many? All are. You are capable of becoming a person that other people will respect, they'll look to for leadership. Samuel begins this chapter. Look back at verse 1. What did it say? Look back at verse 1. It says, and the what, Samuel? He began the chapter as a child. And by the end of the chapter, he's a respected leader all throughout Israel. Why? Why? Look in your handout. What was the first point? It was because he had a what kind of heart? He was surrendered. He was yielded to God. Here am I. Here am I. I'm your servant. Number two, he had a what heart? He had an honest heart. He told Eli every word of God that God said. Number three, he had a hungering heart. He grew. Samuel wanted to grow. May God's word speak to our hearts, and may we at Crossroads, may my dream is that we will see hundreds of people here that will grow into spiritual leaders for God. What a great chapter, 1 Samuel chapter 3. I hope that chapter means more to you now than it did as we grow in our understanding of what happened in Samuel's life. Let's go to God in prayer right now.